everybody, Kyle here. Did you know you could have gotten this episode a few days early and ad-free? Yeah, all you gotta do is head over to patreon.com/Kyle Dempster Studios. Don't wait for next week's episode. Get it now! Hello, everybody, and welcome back to a new episode of The Tenets. My name is Kyle, and I'm joined here by my co-host, as always, Stark Graham. How are you, Stark?
Pretty good.
Good to hear. And we have our returning guest, Zynode. Welcome back, Zy.
How you doing?
Pretty good, thank you. We've got you now on as an almost full-time regular guest at this point. And if you guys didn't hear it, we were on Jebro's podcast, The New Companions. That was just this last Sunday, and the date for that was the 14th. So we didn't even plan that, but we recorded with Zy on July 10th, then got he had the three of us together on the podcast on the 14th, and now we're back here on the 17th of July. So it has been a full, almost like a week plus at this point of doing stuff together, and I'm loving it. I'm honestly loving it. So what we left off last time, we covered the beginning of the patch notes for 5.1.0, and since then, as we mentioned, there would be a new little update. We'll maybe skim through some of this if we have time. That's going to be the big word there, because that is 5.1.1. This also introduces some Witches Festival stuff, so there's some changes there. It's looking forward to the October season. So let's get a cracking on this one. For those that are following along, we are looking at post number 2 in the 5.1.0, and we're down at the section New Item Sets. And I know that...
No, we're actually... Oh, we're on back? 3. We're in post 3.
Oh, but New Item Sets... Sorry. Updated sets. Sorry.
Yeah, we did new updates or new sets last week. Now we're doing updated sets because these are is where they're going back and taking existing sets and tweaking them. So in some cases, they're actually useful.
I'm glad you caught me there. Yeah, because these notes are long, and I scrolled to the top for a second and already lost my place. So yeah, that is a post 3 and under the updated item sets.
How many pages did this run for? I remember Gina actually gave a head count
44
there.
44 or something stupid.
Yeah. 44 pages
of notes. Sorry, everyone. I got lost. There's at least 15 individual posts here is what I'm seeing. So, yikes. Okay, you guys. You want to take these away because they're changing up the light armor here, the Phoenix set, which I know very little about. Do you guys want to talk about this?
I like to ignore it, or used to like to ignore it. So this is one of three sets. I think there's only three of these, or were only three, that would apply an effect after you died. Like, you'd die, and the set would be like, no, you're actually still alive. So instead of going into a death state, you'd go into a suspended state, and then stuff would happen. And with Phoenix, you'd get a massive heal, and then you'd explode for flame damage on everybody nearby. And the timer on this was 10 minutes, which is just absurd. And so the new version, and this is kind of general to all three of these, but the new version is when you drop below 25% health, you gain a damage shield that'll absorb 10,000 damage, and it'll last for 6 seconds, and you deal 1,250 flame damage to nearby enemies and can occur every 60 seconds. So immediately this is a set that's going to actually work, as opposed to sort of, is it on cooldown, is it not? Oh, wait, I'm not dead, but I should be. Also, the stuff that would just straight up kill you through this, I think. Like, there was some weird stuff where you would die if you had a full wipe and people were wearing these sets, it would actually still kill you. So there were all sorts of weirdnesses. Zy, you got thoughts on this?
Yeah, essentially, a lot of people used to use this, and I even used it myself on a couple of things just to help people out in certain content where you may avoid a potential wipe, but instead of using it just for that, people are using it for full out no death runs. And they wanted to kind of negate that. I mean, 10 minutes is a long time. You could make a mess up and it could just, now you're on cooldown, nothing you can do. But in PvP, this had a pretty good application in the past because everyone would think you were dead and just run off and leave you alone. You're not actually dead unless they were physically looking at you and seeing what you're doing. Also, you could force yourself to be a bomber in content, because I did used to do this on the sword quite a lot, where I would keep up Boundless and Grothdar and Destro Ulti with Vicious Death and run into a group of people and deliberately explode and not die.
Well, Phoenix used to have a home with VD that, for bombers,
yes,
didn't it?
Yeah. It was really good because you would actually come out of it alive. Now you're not going to be able to do that as much. You can still do the flame damage, obviously, if you go down really low health, but you can't actually proc your other sets unless you physically die, so then you negate the survival side of it. So for stuff like that and no deaths, I think obviously they've looked into it and trying to change it a little bit. If you look at the stats they've given you, the flame damage is actually higher now, so you will do burst damage to area effect enemies, which is hit and miss. It's a 1 minute thing, so I mean it helps, but it's not massive. But the main thing, the damage shield itself is 10k. Now in PvE content, that's higher than most base damage shields anyway, based on the fact that they made it 40% of your max health, for the most part. So that is actually a very strong survival kind of, oh my god, I'm nearly dead, quick, get a damage shield without even cast anything. And it will stack too. So that's a benefit. In PvE, the damage shield is going to be so low that people will probably still nuke you anyway. So it's balanced to that effect. 1v1, maybe not so much, it's survival. In a big, big group, you haven't got that whole, well, I'm still standing here, haha. So I think they've made a fairly good balance across the board for it. Plus, every minute in long fights, if you go down low health quite a lot, especially during execute, that's going to be really strong. So I do like what they've done with it. It's still kind of an oh shit set. It's just not guaranteed to save you.
Yeah, it's going to help you with chip damage instead of one shots.
Yeah, I mean, if you imagine like VAA, for example, you're going really, really low. The group has almost killed it, but the damage has started stacking up to such an extent that it's getting really hard to manage. And a couple of these proc off, that could make the difference between life and death just for one or two ticks, which can change the tide of what does or doesn't happen. So it is a very niche area-based set, but it does have a place, if you know what I mean. So for practicing groups, if you're finding that really low execute panic is one of those things that happens quite a lot, you may want to still use this to prevent that from happening, especially on first-time clears and stuff like that.
Yeah. Also, if you've got a character that's running around, say, 18k health, that's going to put, with the damage shield, they're going to functionally have about 14k health, which isn't great, but when it procs, it's still going to be enough. Like, it's going to keep you breathing long enough for your healer to recover you.
Oh, definitely. I think for execute phases where your group is struggling, this will be very, very nice. For the time being.
Yeah. Also,
leader-based stats stayed the same, though, didn't they? They didn't change. It was just
the first. The only thing that's marked here are these final bonuses. Like, I think on all of these, I don't think anything got four bonus change.
Yeah.
So, yeah, these are all taking sets that were kind of niche. And this is a pattern. They're taking sets that were kind of niche but non-functional because they were too niche and expanding them out to have a use.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they still are in kind of select areas unless you go really outside the box, which you never know what people can create. But it looks to me like it's got more of a place now than it did before, because instead of having the 10-minute cooldown where you're like, oh, well, I died here by accident and it wasn't when we intended on me dying to take advantage of it and now I've got to wait. 1 minute's nothing. Mm-hmm. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I've been hearing a lot of very complimentary. Okay, among the shitstorm that is, you know, people complaining about BTS, I've been hearing a lot of compliments to this specific area of the notes themselves. People saying they're very happy to see some of these older, very lackluster sets in some ways come back to the foreground. It's a good thing because, I mean, we don't have that gear treadmill, so it's easy to forget about some of these sets at the same time while new sets are added. So good for Zoss too in that.
Now, speaking of sets that were completely forgotten by the treadmill, or the lack of one, Way of Martial Knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Oh, definitely.
It's still niche, but it's going to be usable.
Dude, this is really easy to proc.
Yeah.
It's so easy. You put Beast Trap on a Magicka build, done. You're below 75% stamina. There's your 10% extra damage for everybody.
So when you ask
them, it stacks with the new set. I can't remember how the hell to pronounce it. That's Z-I something or other. That has a 10% damage increase to the target if you stack enough dots. So you need at least 5 damage over time abilities. Each one is 2% and it stacks up to 10%. With infinite cooldown.
Zen's Redress.
That's the one. This stacks with it.
Wow.
So for group increase to overall damage alongside all the other shiny buffs and bonuses we've got, this brings Way of Martial Knowledge back into the game. Because before it was your next attack or the next attack, which could be someone's light attack. Mm-hmm. Now it's 10% additional damage for 4 seconds with a 2 second gap.
This is the second time I remember Martial Knowledge being revised. I think they originally didn't have some like a dodge roll effect or something.
Yeah, I think that's Air actually.
Oh, yeah, you're right. That
it's,
is Air.
Yeah, it's from Cragwell. They're both from Cragwell though. Mm-hmm. So yeah. But I mean, even that got, has that been looked at? I haven't gone down the page that far yet.
No, it did not. It should. There is a roll dice set that got, yeah, Cinch got worked on, but Air did not. That's a shame.
But yeah, it's looking really good. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, flat out, you're not going to get, like, Sororia output as far as max spell damage is concerned, or burn a spell with or anything like that. But that's not the design of the set. The set is designed to increase everybody's damage. So you swap out one of your flat damage bonus sets for this and buff everyone. And then someone else slots the other one, or you stack both on the same target, doesn't matter. You've got options to now dramatically improve overall damage for everyone if someone is willing to slot it. It's really nice. I like what they've done with it. When I first saw it, I thought this is going to be broken as hell, which technically it is. It's so bloody strong, but it's got a cooldown, so there is situations where there's going to be gaps. It's not 100% uptime.
Yeah, it's going to be about 66% uptime, but yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. It's pretty good. I like it.
Yeah. So this is something else following this that just kind of blows my mind. Elemental Succession. This is the first time I've looked at a... This is the first time I remember looking at a Maelstrom set and going, wait a second, I could actually use this and not in some weird sort of not intended way.
Yeah, this is actually pretty cool. I mean, when you activate, I'll read it out. The old one was basically you would have a 4-second duration of whatever element you just hit with. Usually starts with flame first, and 4 seconds you do more flame damage, then for 4 seconds you do more shock, and then more ice, and then it would rotate over and over and over. If you considered Force Pulse, Crush and Shock, whichever morph you take, that just meant that one element out of all three every single time would be boosted, which technically would be the same damage across the board, and any flat spell damage would outperform versus that because it's covering all of them. So that was a bit weird. The way they've done it now is that each element gains 500 spell damage for 4 seconds, but with an 8-second cooldown. So each one individually has their own 4-second buff. Kind of like a Lambrus, where if you do shock damage, you can do the shock side, and if you do flame damage, you can do the flame side. Same with this. If you hit with ice, you get an ice buff. If you hit with fire, you get a fire buff. If you hit with lightning, you get a lightning buff. If you hit with all three of them, you get all three. So technically, if you're hitting all three at the same time, you're just getting a 500 increase to spell damage across the board with a cooldown.
For magic damage, but yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But apart from that, I mean, it's not terrible. It's a good twist on what they've done. I mean, it is going to be kind of niche in some respects, but it's not going to be as obscure as the last setup for it or the last version of it, because the last one was so weird.
Yeah, because unless you were just using it for your spam up and then lining your entire rotation between like lightning and flame, it was always a weird set. So
yeah, I think this is primarily going to be focused on something like Force Pulse and for Burst. So I think as far as PvP is concerned, if you're doing that Crush and Shock, Force Pulse or whatever from long range, and you time everything correctly, especially if you're hitting interrupts and stuff like that, for the 4 seconds that you're spamming it, you're going to get quite a big burst of damage, as opposed to Burning Spellweave, where you have to really, really time it because, oh, it's up at an awkward time now. Oh, can I get my damage in between before it sits there for nothing and does no extra spell damage for the period of time? It's not proc-based. You control it. I think that's the main key factor for this particular set. Do I think it will outperform versus some of the other stuff out there? Not necessarily, but it will possibly stack with them or be very situational to the point where you can have full control of it if you're clever. So I do think that this has brought this particular set back in the game for certain areas rather than just being something you loot in Maelstrom and deconstruct. So the encouragement to go into Maelstrom to get something specific is back, other than weapons, of course.
That sounds very good, honestly. I mean, incentivizing content is key. And so if this stuff was starting to fall behind, I'm, again, glad to hear that gets boosted.
I mean, you can't make every set work for every situation. That's not the design. Mm-hmm. And you can't say, oh, well, this is now going to work on every single build. It looks like they're making some of this stuff be very specific, but still relevant, rather than just being so specific and nobody ever touches it.
Yeah. And I think this puts it at what? There's the only other set I can think of from Maelstrom, normal drop set, not a weapon that comes to mind, is Hunt Leader has some use now, at least for a Stamcrow, and then also for a Stamden. So that's another
weird new set. I wanted that to work so badly on a Stamsorc, but the The plan for has been broken for a long time as in regards to its physical damage output.
Yeah,
not because it's not high enough, but because it scales wrong. Mm-hmm. It scales off of magic and spell damage, but it does physical. So in the base game, obviously, physical and stamina increases physical damage output, which is correct. But because the pet scales its output on the wrong resource, that physical is always going to be really, really low.
Yeah.
So that negated the hunter type sort thing. So yeah, when they introduced the warden and the necro, that does, you're right, it does allow you to use that set again, or even if you use a McCollin or something like that.
And actually always been a regret for me, like especially with the moving towards stuff being like scaling off the larger pool regardless, I do kind of wish they'd move the clan fear over to being in one of these dual scaling things for the damage.
Yeah, I think that would be quite cool. Yeah,
so the stamp sort can have a pet, even if that's not your thing. It would just be like, it'd be nice to have the option.
It may be for some. Do you know what I mean? And it's, so you're a sorcerer. You've got three pet skills potentially because you've got a clan fear, or you can morph it to a scamp. You've got a twilight, or if you want to say even another one, you've got obviously the ultimate. And what can you use as a stamp sorc? Ultimate, and that's it.
Yep. And it's really disappointing too, because outside of PvP or tanks, there's not a lot of use for the clan fear right now.
Correct.
Just because of the way the thing comes together. So it's like, yeah, that's always a little disappointing to me that isn't an option for this set that we're discussing, even though it's not being changed at all.
Yeah. Oh, that's another one. Well, that's not part of the... Keep going. No, go keep going.
I was
going
to say, talk about it.
Okay. As far as Maelstrom is concerned, there is another set that I used to use a lot, and that's Permafrost, because if you went for a full health recovery setup, especially if you were using Absorb Magicka, because it counts as a damage shield, if you weren't taking any projectile damage, you could basically keep 100% uptime on the buff, which was really, really nice to be that kind of tanky tank with recovery instead of using Vampire and PvE, which did work very successfully for a time and can still if you choose to, or in PvE if you want to be really, really trolled. So that has use, but apart from that, the rest of the Maelstrom stuff isn't used that much. Winterborn is a bit of a gimmick because ice is not doing as much damage as it should be based on the fact that the ice staff itself is obviously for tanking. Mm-hmm. So they've negated that as a damage type and more for control or CC, which is understandable, but for the most part, nobody really goes after Winterborn as a desirable set unless they're having fun. And then the Parabellum set.
It's the same problem with Yskermor's Birthright, I think.
Correct. Yes.
It's like, you know, it boosts frost damage, and it's like, well, this doesn't.
There's nothing else that does it apart from warden passives or even a necro passive to some extent. Mm-hmm. But this is the thing with one more set in there, which I'm hoping they look into later, is what I call the I'm Scared of Everything set.
And that's
Parabellum.
Yeah.
Because if you don't take any damage for 10 seconds, you get a damage shield. If you're not taking any damage for 10 seconds, you don't need a damage shield. You're already good at avoiding damage.
Good point.
Yep. So that's a negative. So yeah, I'm glad to revisit in some of these lesser used sets, but I'm hoping to see a few more.
I think I'm paraphrasing your own points back to you on this, but like the one point for Parabellum used to be it would absorb your crit. So if somebody was coming in with a sneak attack, it would eat your incoming crit and would save you from that. So there was a marginal purpose for it. But
yeah, it was an anti-Nightblade if you're running around being stupid and invisible.
Mm-hmm. But since Murkmire, like that's no longer a thing because the crit will go through the shield anyway. So
correct, yeah.
Yeah. And I think that was something you were pointing out to me. So this is, I think I'm actually telling you what you already know, but...
No, you're right. I mean, other people can hear it, so it makes sense.
Yeah.
Share all the knowledge.
Definitely. It would be interesting if it was straight up crit immune on that specific set, nothing else. Like, that set was the shield from that was immune to crits. That would probably restore that value and give it a really specific niche use in PvP.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Wow. I am learning so much because this is so outside of my own area of expertise. Just listening to you guys, I'm like absorbing it all.
Well, here's a set I've been deconning.
Love this set. Don't decon it.
It's too late. I actually legit deconned about, I think it was actually up to 30 pieces of it about 2 weeks ago, and then the patch notes came, and I'm like, oh. So we've got Overwhelming Surge. This used to be when you'd activate a class ability, you have a 15% chance to surround yourself in a torrent that deals shock damage to the closest enemy within 12 meters every second for 6 seconds. And its cooldown is every 6 seconds, so it can't stack with itself. This has been changed so that the proc chance is now 33%. The shock damage has been almost halved. And there's a 15% chance that the damage you deal this way will be restored to you as Magicka. So it's now resources back.
But
okay, that's got my attention.
But damn it, listen very carefully. The last one was your closest enemy within 12 meters.
Oh, it doesn't pick this on its own now.
Damage to enemies within 12 meters.
It's everybody.
It's a proc for everyone within a 12 meter radius. That is one of the largest, if not the largest, fucking AoE effect in the game.
I done fucked up.
That's insane.
Wow.
That is. That and the proc chance, the base proc chance has gone up.
It was high anyway at 15%, especially God. On a 10 plus famine jabs. My God, 33%, you're pretty much guaranteeing it. As soon as it runs out.
That's where I was screwing up, because I was always looking at it, I was like, shock damage, this should go in a Sorc. Looking
plus
at the Sorc,
shock
like,
creates minor vulnerability or and concussion, which can then contribute to off-balancing a massive area of effect.
Yeah. Wow.
That's
okay.
Nuts. I really want that set as soon as possible. Don't change it on PTS. Just bring it through because I've got a full set on live anyway. Just bring it through as it is and we'll keep it.
Love it. Honestly.
Mag return for spam and error of effect smashes. That's dirty. 15% of damage dealt is magic back. So this is the thing. This requires obviously some more testing because I've mostly done it with single target or maybe two targets. But how many does that cap out to and how much can you actually get back? Because in a 12 meter area of effect, let's say, for example, you're running into Hellrow and you've got the big, big pull at the beginning with all the hundreds of ads and stuff, and you're just running in spamming jabs. I don't think you're going to run out.
That's a horrifying thought. Probably.
Rune focus, spam jabs. Good night.
Yeah.
It's very, very cool.
Yeah. Well, even if that's just capping at 5, that's still reasonably going to happen about every... It should statistically happen about every second and a half or so. You should be getting magicka back. So it's like...
Yeah, even if it's like 5 or 6, it's every 1 second.
Yeah, and there's no cooldown on that. So it can theoretically just go all at once, too. It's just like, oh, hey, here's these resources. This is like Lich, but without the cooldown. And having said that, they're going to come back in and nerf the hell out of it. Damn it.
Yikes.
Well, if you hit 6 targets with it, I mean, and it procs, I mean,
every
15%
second.
Yeah, 15% of the damage done every second is going to give you magic back. It's what, 100 and... It's not far off, what, 150 or so every hit. And then if you give that by six people, you're talking best part of 900 magicka back every 1 second in area of effect.
Yeah.
That's nuts, especially alongside rune focus, and you don't even need a heavy attack. False god. Oh my god. It's insane.
Yeah.
You're not going to run out.
Now, here's another set that I've been decounting for a while. Kyle might actually want to run now.
Ooh, which one's this now?
Trinimax Valor.
Oh,
so
buffed.
Yeah. Well, useful.
Yes.
This was not a good set. This is a set that I've looked at. Like, I've had some in my inventory and looked at it and gone, that would be cool.
So
if it
situational.
Ooh.
Yeah. Just DK or don't bother.
Yeah. And now you can use this on pretty much anybody that's got a shield that you can share with friends. So when you cast a damage, the old version is when you cast a damage shield on allies, you had a 20% chance to call down a fragment of Trinimac that would heal you and your allies for 3,600 health, and then damage enemies for the same amount and magic in a 5 meter radius with a 5 second cooldown. The new version, the proc chance is gone. You cast a damage shield ability. It doesn't have to be on an ally. It can be on you. You call down Trinimac.
Guaranteed.
Yeah, every time on a 5 second cooldown, and the heal and the damage have gone up.
And doesn't your resto bubble last for what, 6 seconds or something like that already?
Mm-hmm.
So you know, I mean, as annulment long as it's dying naturally, you can recast immediately.
Annulment will proc this. Your resto staff will proc this. Burial will proc this. Like everything that casts
combat
damage.
Combat position. Everything.
I'm glad you flagged this.
Would it? Does that count as an ability?
Oh yeah, it did. It procs in the first place.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, combat position.
Put the damage shield on.
Oh.
Any damage shield proc will work.
Mm.
That's actually
now,
a really good
whether
set.
That works on PTS or not, because we haven't fully tested it, we'll have to find out, because it does say when you cast a damage shield, now it says damage shield ability, but it did always work that way, so it may have been overlooked.
Well, yeah, if it...
So you have to check.
Because sometimes abilities, sometimes your procs from sets do count as abilities,
correct.
Yeah.
Exactly, so it may line up with that.
The other one I'm curious about is what happens with this if you're running Hatchling Shell. Like, what kind of bizarre stuff happens then?
Ooh...
Because that's just
yeah.
You should just activate it every time.
Well, basically, if you can imagine, I mean, this would be really, really helpful in a lot of content, especially with lots of different situations, especially on lots of different classes of healers, if they're utilizing damage shields. But what about if you're one of those people that go into Maelstrom and you're struggling and you're trying to get your succession set, because we just went over that one, and you use an Ice Heart and it procs a damage shield pretty much all the time, and you've constantly got this AoE damage going down and constant heals coming in.
Well, and even if you're not running...
Changes the game for people that are struggling.
Yep. Yeah, the only downside is you can't run it on a stam set because this is light armor. And I'm thinking the 2-4 bonus is all spell, spell crit, and max mags.
There's a recovery in there, I believe.
Yeah, there probably is.
Yeah.
But still, like, this is actually really good. Mm-hmm. And this is going to be really helpful for... You're right, especially in Maelstrom when you're going in there on a mag character.
I mean, before you would have to cast a shield, then a heal. Or you'd have to use the original version of the set and have a 20% chance to do it, and maybe not. Mm-hmm. Now you could just activate a shield, heal, and do damage. 5 seconds later, oh my god, I need another shield on. Guaranteed heal. You don't have to use two skills. You don't have to shield, heal. You're using half the resources.
Yep, and you're still helping yourself on dealing outgoing damage while you're trying to do defensive play. Again, for Maelstrom specifically. Though there's probably some application for this on more melee-focused mag builds.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
So there's lots of different places where it could be really useful, whereas before maybe it wasn't.
Yeah.
I'm very into
that. No, it's nice. Yeah. It's a cool set now. This is...
Yeah.
This is what this set should have been from the beginning.
Definitely.
Really. Like, this is a cool set. It's not... This isn't overpowered. This isn't, you know, horrifically destructive, but this is a really nice effect that encourages a kind of play style.
I think in Hrothgar it would have been overpowered at the time, but I think we've progressed so much from there with all the different content that this is now something that is needed.
Well, but then again, remember
now.
Remember it was competing with Briarheart too out of Hrothgar, so it's like maybe a little bit. The only one that still sort of loses out in Hrothgar is actually Pariah, yeah, because it's a really cool set. It's a really cool idea. The problem is, if you're using it on a decent build, you're going to be pushing yourself over resist cap long before it kicks
PvP.
In.
Yeah,
I know. It's for PvP.
Like, the only way I've ever seen that really, really useful is on a PvP setup where you literally tank up impen, you tank up resistances and health recovery with scales and Troll King. So then, when you're 50% or lower, your health recovery kicks in from both your Ogrim Scales, your Troll King, so keep your health up all the time, and then your resistances kick in as well. So the lower they push you, the more you heal, and the more resistances you've got. So for situations like that, when you start balancing things off against each other, it's really, really nice set, but it doesn't seem to have any application anywhere else that would outperform perhaps some of the other stuff, even some of the crafted stuff. So I think Pariah is a little bit of a wild card, and I think maybe they should... Consider that one as an update. Yeah, just even something just to change it a little bit to make it a little bit more desirable.
Yeah.
In comparison to the blatant buff that they've given to Trinomac, which is obviously much more useful.
Yeah. Okay, so that's the end of the light sets. So these have all been light armor sets that have been changed up to this point. We've also got two medium armor sets that have been changed. One of these is Sench's Bite. This used to be when you roll dodge, your weapon damage increased by 430, your weapon critical increased by 67. That's about 0.5%, right?
6.57. It's not. What the hell does that work out? I thought that was a bit less than 3. It's like 2.5.
Oh, is it actually that much? Okay.
It's quite. I mean, AA3 is not far off 3%.
Okay, cool.
And that's normally a set at gold.
Okay, cool. And then this was for 5 seconds.
A little bit. Yeah.
And now it's just straight up. When you use roll dodge, increase your crit damage by 12% for 8 seconds.
That's disgusting.
Wow. Wow.
Why is that disgusting? Okay, let's just say for argument's sake, you are in Sanctum Affinity right now on hard mode, and you are avoiding the wall shaper. 3, 2, 1, get the hell out. So what do? Sprint or do you dodge roll? So when you come back in for the next 8 seconds, you've got 12% extra crit damage. It's disgusting. That stacks as well. Yeah, crit damage is
because this isn't the name of buff.
Warhorn, major force, minor force, any crit bonuses you've got from your Munderstone, your passive in your CPs, your class, your race, whatever you've got. So Nightblade on a Khajiit, for example, with loads of points into your crit damage with a Shadow Moonstone, with really high crit chance and a dodge roll.
Holy crap.
It's rank.
How
so powerful. It is situational, of course, but this, do you know what this situation is? Right, you've got stuff like Reliquin, where you have to stack and burn to make it useful because most people can't actually use it effectively inside mechanics. Use ESO logs, go and have a look, people can't. That's not a problem. That's just a play to learn kind of thing. So you do have to keep up your light attacks while you're weaving in and out of all these different fireballs that you got to dodge while keeping focus on the boss. That takes a lot of practice. This one, this is an in-mechanics set.
Mm-hmm.
So the more you follow the mechanics and dodge all that stuff when you get caught in stupid, the more damage you're going to output when you come back in for the smack. It's really nice.
Also worth remembering, like, because this is a medium armor set, your roll dodges are going to be cheap.
Exactly.
It's like, this is, you pay a little bit of magic or a little bit of stam and reposition, and you get a lot of damage for the next 8 seconds. It's a nice buff. Like, it's,
well, look at Dungeons and Trials as a whole. There's a lot of different fights now that are very active, aren't there?
Mm-hmm.
You've got to move around a lot. You've got to dodge roll a lot. Yeah, all right, fair enough. The most recent ones aren't that active for the most part. It's kind of stack and burn, deal the ads, stack and burn, deal the ads. But while you're dealing with the ads, especially on Loki as well, when you've got to get out of the way of stuff, this is going to help. It's really, really nice. There is a lot of content where this may be not quite so helpful, and then there's going to be a lot of content that it is. We're talking obviously theoretically because we've got to make sure it tests and works out well, but this isn't something that you're going to actively be able to mess around with and dummy hump to get the results out of. You need to use this against a boss.
Because you give up the time on a parse, you're giving up time to generate the increased crit chance. But in live combat, you're going to be dropping.
You're going to give it up anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Because you don't want to die.
Yeah. So if a big bomb comes down and you got a dodge roll out of it, you're not actually standing in the dummy's face right now, smacking Reliquin procs. I mean, you can use them together. They do stack, but you see what I mean. There is going to be a break in your DPS. Whereas this is going to make a break, but it's going to give you that burst back when you get back in.
Wow.
You did a fist punch then.
Boom. No, it's cool.
It's funny how they don't work like off stream. I'll sit here and I'll actually air quote sometimes. Like,
oh, I've done that.
Yeah. I'm like, who
nobody
am I?
Knows it.
I'm talking, I'm looking at my camera like it's on. It's not. It's not.
Yeah, I like the idea of it. I think it's really, really good to use inside mechanics to make sure you've still got that. Oh, I've just now missed half of my rotation because of avoided mechanics, but I need to build it back up again. Yes, of course you do, but this gives you that extra burst if you are critting. It's a very cool way of doing it. It might be too strong with some setups, but we'll have to see.
It's always going to be really situational, though, because this is, you're giving up a 5-piece bonus for this. So this is, I think this is worth slotting for the 5-piece bonus now, as opposed to before, definitely, where it was like, this is worth deconning on the off chance I'll get some random purple upgrade mats.
Imagine it in Maelstrom as well. We've had Maelstrom come up several times already. How many of you
Maelstrom
is a stamina all the time?
Yeah, well, that's your
primary indication. Dodge roll, light attack, steel tornado, everything's dead.
Mm-hmm.
Well, whirling blades, not steel tornado.
Well, still, yeah. No, it's true. Okay, I don't have much feelings on this. Does anybody else? This next one?
What have you got?
Kind's Kiss.
When you deal direct damage with a bow ability, you have 10% chance to heal and get stamina back. 1, 2, 1, 6 of both. The new one is when you deal direct damage while 12 meters or further from your target, you have a 15% chance to heal for 1k and restore stamina. Now,
there's no cooldown, though.
I have a thought. I mean,
it doesn't have a cooldown. That's very true. But it's chance based and range condition based.
Yeah.
Is this trying to incentivize the idea that bow gameplay is like a real legitimate thing that you can actually be? Or they, you know what I mean? Is that a lean towards just doing a pure bow style deal?
Well, the thing is, 12 meters and above is your sweet spot for taking advantage of your bow passives, which most people on the target that we don't actually do because they just want to put melee abilities on their bar to fill the gap to make it look good. If you're using a bow build effectively, you want to stay at range. That's the whole point of it in the first place, unless you're mixing it with another weapon. This set kind of does incentivize the fact that you want to be at range to benefit from it, but they've still added a chance on it,
yeah,
as well as a range. The condition should be one or the other, not both. I mean, that just means if, 85% of the time you're in the boss's face, you're not going to get the proc anyway, but there's still a chance that 85% of the time when you're out of the range, you're still not going to get it anyway.
And so, lowered stuff.
I mean,
too.
I can see what they're trying to do with it, but I don't think it's enough.
I'd rather it just be on a cooldown. Like, that's the thing about this. Yeah. It doesn't have a cooldown.
I'd rather it be
a 5-second or 6-second cooldown on the 12 meters or above.
Correct.
So encourage them to be at range, and then that
Yeah, or... you've got to balance out your chance for condition, and I don't think you should have both. And 15% over 10 is not enough. Mm. The fact that they've made it so it's not direct damage anymore, it's just... it's not just bow, it's direct damage as well. I mean, it works in staves and bows because it's got to be a range.
But the only other thing this applies to is class weird. Abilities. Like if you're hitting something with birds or if you're hitting something with a flying skull, like that'll...
Well, that does encourage it because the birds do need to be at range to benefit from the extra damage.
That's true.
But then that makes it very pigeonholed. Pigeons for the birds. into the warden. So, I mean, is this a warden set or
warden
is this
necro? I think.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? It's one of those that is just. Again, we are hitting niche areas with a lot of these sets, and they were designed for that anyway. So they are pushing for possible extra choices. I just don't think this one is quite met as much as the other ones have.
Yeah, this is the one where I'm kind of looking at it, going, "Well, this doesn't really." And then, of course, the addition here is the set will now drop in staves, which is okay. So now we have magic drops for a stam set. Cool, thanks.
So yeah, long range interrupts perhaps on a back bar.
Could be.
Get stamina back so you can block on a sword and ball in the front when people start charging you. God knows, this it's very situational. Situational.
Does seem
That's
weird.
That's the one where we're just kind of putting our hands up in the air. It's like, it's an improvement.
It is an improvement. I'm not gonna lie, it is an improvement.
I don't think it's enough. I think this is still decon fodder.
Yeah, it is.
Dang.
Unfortunately, because it's got a cool name, at least.
Oh,
also,
yeah,
I think this set has a unique motif. At least the head and shoulders are unique. So,
I thought they were... I could be wrong. I thought they were based on Alliance.
No, this is a weird-ass set from way back in the day.
Oh, really?
Because I don't think... This is the one's got the weird... the skull head.
Oh, you might be right.
Yeah.
Fun.
Okay, so who wants to touch the next heavy set that changed? Actually, the next two, because these are kind of a package deal.
I want both of them.
You want them both together at the same time now, which did not used to be the case.
This is nuts. Well, previously, you've got two different sets here. One makes you not die, and the other one makes you not die, but they're both for different conditions. The first one, Eternal Yukita, when you die, instead of turning into a statue... You turn into a statue for 3 seconds and you gain 200 ultimate, which is nuts. You could force yourself to die to get like a magma shell or something if you're on a DK. While you're in a statue, you're immune to all negative effects, but you can still be healed. So you can stand there in stone, looking pretty, and be healed. But it happens once every 10 minutes, which is insane. Now that got changed. So instead of actually not dying, when you're below 25% health, you heal for 12.5k and gain 100 ultimate. And this can happen once every minute. That heal puts you back up, obviously, over 25%, so you don't actually die. So it still kind of prevents that, unless it's a one-shot. But the 100 ultimate could kind of force you to deliberately dip low in health. That I'm going to come back to, because I have a very good point for that, too. The Immortal Warrior is when you die, instead you turn into a statue for 3 seconds, just like the last one. But while you're in a statue, you're immune to all negative effects and can still be healed. Exactly the same, but this... happens every 20 minutes. So you could proc one and then proc the other. And then you'd always have that 10 minute cooldown for one, and then you could proc one every, a little bit earlier. It was a bit weird to stack the two, but you could.
Yeah. Also, now, sort of pointing out, you do not get ultimate from Immortal. Like, that was never a thing.
No, you don't.
This is a little bit like the perfected sets we see now. This was something that happened with the Kraglorn stuff. There's downgraded versions of the various sets. And it's for all of them. Like, there's a downgraded version of IA, which is Wise Mage. There's a downgraded version of VO, which is Celerity.
Yeah.
So, like, this is that example. Like, there's a downgraded version of Eternal Warrior, and it had a longer cooldown with no ultimate payout. Except now, it's got a new effect.
Completely different. Completely different. 35% health and lower. You can proc major protection, reducing the damage you take for 35%. But this isn't like it procs it and has it on for a few seconds. While your health remains under 35%, you've got a built-in Nova.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you are in situations where your health is consistently going low, where you deliberately push it low, you will get that.
Well, 35% is a lot of health.
If you're a health tank, that's a lot of health.
Uh-huh.
And if you're using the other set at the same time and you do dip below 25%, it'll push you back up again with the 12.5k heal, and you'll get 100 ultimate.
Mm-hmm.
This happens every 1 minute. This Immortal Yokida doesn't have a cooldown. All you have to do is hit 35% health and you've got major protection. The other one has got 100 ultimate every minute. If you can fluctuate your health on purpose, that's some serious ulti gain on top of what you're already getting. Now, here's the thing. Some skills, heals, are based on the percentage of your missing health. So the higher your health pool, the bigger the heal from the missing percentage overall. You can force yourself to deliberately slow down your dragon blood spams to make sure you go extremely low to take advantage of the bonus extra ultimate and then go straight back up again. You can manipulate it on purpose. Not only that, if you've got vampire passives for undeath and you're under 30% health, you're, well, it's under 50 actually, but even if you go under 30, you've got major protection all the time, plus vampire, plus you heal if you go too low. Now, one example, you're in Mark Bane. Now, I've survived this on DPSs without even getting healed anyway, but if you're on a tank and you sit there and they can't heal you enough because maybe a healer's died or whatever, this does turn you into an immortal warrior again, because basically you've got major protection stuck to you. You heal if you go too low. You've got your ultimate, which means you'll probably just get back Magma Shell or something to that effect if you're using a DK. You've got so many like stopping points for your actual death that you probably won't die. It's bloody nuts. And I think the two combined, again, yeah, of course, niche areas. Maybe you're struggling with content and the tank always dies. Slap these two sets on, very hard to be killed.
Also useful if the tank needs to go off and play by themselves for a while. Like, if you can't rely on your healer to be there, this is a nice setup.
Yeah, and imagine you're in PvP and you are deliberately being tanky, but you need to be careful with your resources. You get beat on quite a bit, and then major protection kicks in at low health alongside undeath, and you're just sitting there laughing, thinking, I'm going to heal when I feel like it, rather than panicking because you're low. Plus, you get major heroism if you've got your CP in the right place as well, for going under 20%. All these different stepping points which can keep you up or push you back down again, you can benefit from all of them. It's really, really nice. So, no, you don't actually die and then come back to life again, but this prevents you quite heavily from actually dying. So, I mean, one keeps you in the fight and gives you ultimate, the other one just gives you a massive mitigation bonus. It's nuts. I do like what they've done with both of them, and I really want to see how they pan out, both stacked together. Just for tank's sake.
Yeah, no, these are cool. I kind of regret that, you know, all the immortal pieces I've deconned over the years, because again, it would be nice to actually have both of these going in right now. But
I guess kept mine.
You keep everything. We've got a couple of weeks before the thing goes through, and I do have a lot of gold eternal jewelry. So
yeah. There's a funny feeling they're probably gonna alter things, but then again, you put this with a movable where you have massive block mitigation while it keeps you completely still on the spot. And you go really low health and just hold block, you're not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to die. I like it.
I like this too.
It makes you really beefy tank.
This is some cool stuff. And the comment earlier, we were talking about Pariah. This does kind of undercut the value of Pariah also, because now instead of just increasing your resistances, you're getting an additional resist mitigate, or you're getting an additional mitigation source. So that's going to push you above 50. Like,
well, your mitigation for your resist is going to put you to the 50% mark, but then this is going to
attach above
on
that.
Top of it. Yeah. Yep. It's going to be more applicative and you're going to get diminished returns, but it's still going to work. Mm-hmm. Again, PvP application if you're using Pariah. Yeah. And because, major protection while that low health, you are so hard to kill.
This is probably something we should explain in passing, at least so Kyle and the listeners can catch. In PvE, you don't usually have to deal with penetration from sources. Like, there's some situations that'll debuff you, but normally if you're getting hit, your resists will mitigate incoming damage by whatever they're going to mitigate. In PvP, other players have physical or spell pen.
Right.
So even if you're over the hard cap for resistances, you're actually getting value from that because other players are dealing additional damage beyond that and reducing your, like, they're reducing your resists.
Exactly.
So Pariah applies. Yeah. Sorry.
Go ahead. Go on. No, go.
What happens with Pariah is they'll reduce your resistances, and then Pariah starts bringing those back up where they would have been. So
exactly.
You can start getting back towards hard cap even after your resists are being reduced, because it's being applied over the 32,500. It's getting applied above that, so they're subtracting, and they're not even reaching down to 32. So you're still getting 50% mitigation.
Well, that's the thing. It's 660, I think, for every 1%. So you times that by 50. If you get hit by a Nightblade that is built for, say, 14, 15K penetration, they're going to strip, in essence, 15K off your resists. But if you end up going over cap by 15K, that in PvE is going to be useless. In PvP, that Nightblade has just stripped all of your resist down to cap, and you take no additional damage over the minimum. It's ridiculous. You can still mitigate 50% of all of his damage, even though he's gone through 15K or whatever of your resistances, because you are still there. You can actually buffer the debuff that you're going to predict basically incoming to such a negative effect that nothing they're using will actually increase their damage on you. So it's nuts, and Pariah is one of those sets that does allow you to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's lots of different ways to do it. There's loads of ways to go over cap, but if you're deliberately trying to make sure that you can mitigate as much as possible and you negatively affect their penetration values, then yeah, you're really hard to take down.
Yeah, and Pariah is worth about, like, at low health, it's worth about 10K for physical and spell resist. So it's chunky, like, it's a chunky bit of resistance.
Well, that's what major fracture.
That's more than major. That's twice major fracture and
major fracture and 61 points in piercing.
Mm-hmm.
And you're almost there. They basically just they snuck through a little bit by about 400, 500, maybe 600. Not a lot.
So that's a pretty heavy commitment on a build to just try to pen through.
Yeah, it is.
Like that's nuts. So yeah, it's worth it for that's why it's worth it for PvP.
Definitely.
And I continue griping about it because it's not worth it for PvE at all, and it's a cool set.
That makes sense, honestly. Huh.
So now we got a set coming up that I can already hear the whining about it. I prefer this. I like this, but it's... So 7th Legion is a set that's been used... actually, I'm just going to say it. It's been used incorrectly by the community for a while. Like, they found a use for it. That use is valid, but that's not the intended use. And this set definitely starts to pigeonhole it out of a DPS application and into a heavy armor application.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the original version of this is when you take damage, you have a 10% chance to gain 500 weapon damage, which is significant, for 5 seconds and heal for 1260 health. Effect can occur every 2 seconds. And correct me if I'm wrong, but this stacks with itself, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's 100% uptime.
Mm-hmm. If you're taking damage. That's a problem, and that's you can potentially get as high as a plus 1500 weapon damage stat, which is just nuts. So the change, and this requires you taking damage from some source. That's the only caveat, but it's still like it can do some ridiculous things. This is being changed to when you use an ability that increases your physical or spell resist, you gain 350 weapon damage, which is pretty reasonable, and 350 health recovery for 10 seconds on a 10 second cooldown.
And that's reasonable because you are in heavy armor. You do have tanky bonuses applied. So whenever you cast an ability that benefits from resistances, you do then gain that kind of little bit of a push, not over the top, but you do have a weapon damage increase, so you can hit back. At the same time, it increases your survival as well. So it's a balance across the board. Like if you buff your resistances, you heal a little bit, and you smack stuff a little bit harder rather than the full out. Well, basically, if you take damage, you just nuke stuff to bits.
Yeah.
So you're bait, basically. This set was a bait set. As soon as you get hit, you're going to nuke them. And they've altered that. So you still do have really good damage application. And even in the PvE situation, I mean, yeah, the weapon damage is actually a bit more than Hundant's. So it's not terrible. All you have to do is apply a physical resistance buff. If you're a Stamsorp, Hurricane, you're done. Your health recovery just went up and you just got a massive bonus to weapon damage.
Yeah.
There are ways to make it work.
Yeah. Also fun one is on a Nightblade, if you're using surprise attacks, you spam, like that's going to proc constantly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it gives you major ward and major resolve just for using an assassin ability.
Yeah.
So it has good application. It's just been altered because it was quite honestly way too bloody powerful.
I was being abused. It's more than just being too powerful. It was being abused. Yeah.
Yeah. So I like what it's done with it. I'm not mad at that at all.
Yeah. This next one's changed also. I think you're excited about this, aren't you, Zai?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. This is a cool change.
Go on, read it.
Okay, so Armor of the Veiled Heritance. This is a heavy overland set from Auradon, so you're going to see a lot of this early on. The current version is when you deal damage, you have a 10% chance to increase your weapon damage by 400 for 5 seconds. Fun thing about this is there's no cooldown, so you can do some kind of deranged things with it. But beyond that,
yeah, the werewolf is like 8K weapon damage. 8K weapon damage with Royal and Veiled Heritage.
What can you do with that with Savage?
You can just Savage slap people and just
slap people until it explodes. Oh my god. Okay, so the other one here, the new version, is when you interrupt an enemy, you gain 400 weapon damage for 15 seconds.
Did you play the tutorial? Did you take the tutorial with you in content?
Yeah.
Did you tell everyone else to interrupt stuff because the tank's supposed to do it? Well, if you want your weapon damage, bash stuff.
Yep.
Simple as that. I like that application to it. You will get rewarded for following mechanics.
And saving your party. Like, it's kind of sad that it's gotten to the point where it's like we have to put a freaking carrot out there to entice us to actually bash, but it works. Like, this is a really good buff.
And if this is still utilized in PvP, which it probably will be, what should you do to the opposing target in terms of counterplay for channeled abilities?
Bash them.
Bash them, and for doing so, or interrupting them. This says interrupt, so you could just use a range interrupt on your back bar, for example. Excuse me.
Crushing shock. Well, no, not crushing shock, because you wouldn't want a hybrid like that, but
maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe you're a sword and board DK and you got crushing shock on your back bar. So you interrupt them on the back bar and then you shield assault them on the front.
That would be goofy, though. You could do that in Pelinals and just like weird shit happens.
15 seconds worth of weapon damage on a sword and board bar with a new bash upgrade. Hello.
That's legit.
Long range interrupt, swap bars, gap closer, wreck them.
Well, there's also the poison arrow morph that gives you an interrupt venom injection.
It's venom shot, venom arrow, I think it is.
Something like that, yeah. Where it's like that as an interrupt on it also.
For a long time. They also introduced that to one of the other skills as well recently.
Mm.
But still, I mean, anything like that, you've got some funky stuff that can be done, and you do need to interrupt people, otherwise other people or you will die.
Yep.
So it does add that.
Also, still no cooldown, not a named buff, should be able to stack with itself.
Exactly.
Have you ever wanted to wear like 6 suits of Undings at once? Here's your chance. Interrupt everything.
It's really, really cool. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how it actually performs on the PTS and what its intended overall kind of ceiling is. But this is something that could be considered an over the top burst. Because 15 seconds is a long time.
Yeah, but at the same time, the trigger is on an interrupt, so that's going to require you're actually aware of your surroundings and playing intelligently. It's not just, passing.
You have that long before Well, this is the thing. The interrupt mechanic, I mean, if someone is beaming you with a Jesus beam and you interrupt them, their cooldown on being interrupted again is way under 15 seconds.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, this requires on both sides, though, right? Because as a player and you realize somebody's bashing you, you shouldn't be doing that. You should not be doing interruptible attacks in range of somebody else to interrupt you if you know they're there.
I hope they have a visual effect on it.
Yeah.
Because then it would add to counterplay, and you could play really clever about not using channeled abilities while it's running.
Yeah. And on the other side, again, a lot of times people just do not pay attention to the interrupt mechanic at all.
Definitely. So you look at the right hand side of Hellra. How many people have you told on repeat you have to interrupt the targets?
I know. And then you get full wipes because they're not interrupting the targets even after the revision. It's like, guys, no, stop it.
Yep.
So yeah, this is, even if nothing else, just putting that out there is saying, oh, hey, here's a massive weapon damage increase for bashing somebody. That should get some attention on the mechanic and get people aware of it. So even if it's a little bit deranged, I kind of hope this goes live just to get people's attention on that.
Well, there's a major main set as well, isn't there, if you interrupt someone? It was in Wolf Hunter. What the hell was it called?
Was it,
Wolf Hunter?
Balor?
Not Balor, the other one.
Oh, the werewolf
major polymorph.
Yeah, I know the one you're talking about. I just can't remember the name.
Polymorph's called
Zycosa.
Zycosa, that's the one. Yeah, if you bash Zycosa. Them, you hit them with major maim. So if they're channeling something, you bash them with this, you've got a weapon damage increase, and they can't hit you for shit.
Yep.
I mean, it's a short duration, obviously. That's only 3 seconds, but this is the consideration of what you can do. And major maim, obviously, would reduce their damage output. And then if you're bashing them with a two-hander, what's it called, the sword and board abilities, they're pretty much stuffed. Mm-hmm. It's CC hell with a slap. Looks fun. This is extremely diverse, the way that they've done it. Situational, sure, why not? But it's very nice. I mean, in PvE, you could take advantage of it in heavy interrupt mechanics. And in PvP, this could make someone into an actual ninja.
Yeah. Yeah. So we got one heavy set left. Actually, we got one set left change, because as far as I know, there's no monster set changes. And this is a change to Ravager, which has been popular in certain circles for a while.
And broken.
Current version is when you deal melee damage, you have an 8% chance to increase your weapon damage by 645 for 10 seconds. It can occur every 10 seconds. Yeah, that's a lot of weapon damage just for showing up and hitting somebody in the face.
Yeah, that kicks a shit out of Briarheart and Stacks.
So the new version, when you attempt to reduce target's physical or spell resist, you gain a stack of Ravager for 5 seconds, increasing weapon damage by 125, gain a stack every second. At 4 stacks, the duration doubles but cannot be refreshed.
So it hits peak and then falls off again.
Mm-hmm.
Power of the light. Well, not power of the light. No, there is power of the light.
Mm-hmm.
That would do it. Or yeah, surprise it attack.
Pierce.
Breath. Or pierce or anything, yeah, anything like that. So again, I mean, this is a pierce. If you use a pierce armor ability, that would increase obviously your weapon damage over the time period. Mm-hmm. So your sword and board is now hitting harder. Again, bash got buffed. The reverberate and bash and all the rest of it, they can hit really, really hard. With the new stacking system, where the more you get hit, the harder you hit back. This could also stack very well with Veiled Heritance, where if you're interrupting them, which you probably are going to do with your sword and board, you get a 400. So these two will go together.
Does Shulk still have its fracture effect?
Yeah, but it's a really short period of time.
Yeah, but it doesn't care how long it lasts. Like, this is on a 5 second duration. So if you're doing
Shulk's, yeah, it's just apply it.
Uh-huh. That's it. Or even attempt to apply it. You don't have to successfully hit them.
Every single class in some way or another has either access to it, or you can get it from weapon skill.
That's not bad.
So you got pierce for everybody. You've got early drain on the other side for everybody, or whichever morph you take. Which also reduces their resistances.
I wonder if Ellie Drain, if you take the morph of Ellie Drain that self refreshes, I wonder if that actually counts, puts another stack on it, because that would be a little bit of a problem, ironically.
Mm-hmm. Well, then you've got.
Because it would go to 4 stacks and then reset.
I don't think there's any classes that are missing. Ooh, I wonder if that works. It doesn't say ability, does it? Yes, Sunder Flame, no, heavy doesn't. Attacks, job done.
Oh, yeah. Also Night Mother.
Oh, they changed it. No, they changed it, didn't they? That just doesn't hit. I know.
No, it works. Also, Night Mothers would work on a crit.
Yeah, it would.
Yeah,
it would. So minor from a heavy attack. You've also got Mephala's Hand, which also works. You've got a lot of options.
Yeah, there's stuff you can do with this. I think there's monster sets that apply Fracture, aren't there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's a lot of...
There's not Fracture. Hold on. Let me think of what there is. There's no debuff for Fracture on a monster set. There is on full piece sets from dungeons and such.
That might be what I'm thinking of. I thought there was a... Yeah, I must be thinking of something else. But yeah, there's options here, so...
Pretty good.
I'm wondering what
that's
I'm thinking
an interesting,
of.
That's an interesting set.
Yeah. Well, especially the part where it's like you can't just max it out and keep riding it the way you do with something like Rally, because once you hit 4 stacks, it will fall off and you have to rebuild it.
So it's timing, it's burst. Mm-hmm. This is the thing. It has been mentioned already in the recent PTS update that the Searing, whatever the hell it's called, the whip, basically, for the DK, like stacking multiple Ardent Flame abilities up to 3 will increase your weapon and spell damage. All you need to do is breathe on someone with Noxious Breath. This set will proc, and that is one tick towards that actual passive already.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go Venom Claw, Flames of Oblivion, and then Breath, you've already stacked up your 3 hits from your whip. You've already stacked up this. You've got weapon and spell damage increased. You're going to hit quite hard with the 2 stacked together. This looks very heavily DK focused. And if not, other classes obviously can utilize it, but this will stack very nicely with it. Yeah. Sword and board fucking DK stuff.
Let's see, that would cap at like, wait a second. 125 goes 5, this. So yeah, it'll go to a, that'll go to a max weapon damage of 1,000 when it's at, when it's fully firing at 4 stacks.
Yep, and then if you've got a contributing set that goes alongside of it, so you interrupt someone with a 400 weapon damage increase on top of your flat.
You can set that up beforehand. Yeah, yep. No, this is nice.
It's a very cool set. These are thinking sets, and this is what I like.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you the opportunity to think, how am I going to use this? It's not just slap on everything and it'll work. Think of how this jigsaw puzzle goes together. It's really, really cool.
It's the way to do it. Make them actually think of your sets. And after recapping all of those changes, we're going to skip far down the show notes. You guys are following along. We're popping down to number 14, way at the bottom. It's under the itemization and item sets header. And then in there, we're looking at item sets because there's been a lot of changes to these. So if you guys want to take some of these away, it starts with affliction.
Well, actually, I'm going to jump back like literally two paragraphs because you're thinking about Bloody Mara. This is, it stings, but it makes sense, unfortunately. Because so one of the things to consider when you're looking at food and drink buffs is which one it is, because there are sets that cue off of having food active or having drinks active. There's a, I can't remember what the name for the mag version is, but there's a set for medium and set for light that will increase your resource recovery and max resource for having a given buff active. And unfortunately with Bloody Mara, like, it was calculated on the idea that this set didn't exist because Bloody Mara predates that set. Well, now there's a set that increases max magicka and magicka recovery while you've got drink active.
The one from Merkmire.
Yeah, from Merkmire. I think it's, I can't remember if it's a drop or if it's a crafted set.
A drop. It's the Blight Throats one.
Yeah, Bright Throat. Or yeah.
Blow, Fright, Fire, I don't know.
Something like that. Yeah, I think it's Bright Throat. Yeah. But yeah, so the lizard this. Stuff. This stings because, like, this one of the only things this has, like, they're talking about how because it's gold rarity, it's supposed to have other buffs. The only other buff for Bloody Mara is just a vampire stage modifier, which doesn't really matter that much in moment to moment combat. So it's kind of, that stings a little bit about being reduced, but it also exists alongside that set existing that could make it even more powerful. So it's like, it's unfortunate, but there is a logic here. Okay, that was the only thing I wanted to say there. There's a change to the glyph of bashing about how weapon and spell damage and your bash effects, and like that doesn't matter. That's just balance tweaking. A lot of these changes that didn't get covered above are also just balance changing. So like affliction before, it didn't, the befouled passive from your champion perks did not apply to it. Briarheart will now actually apply the buff to your character, your effects bar.
That's really handy.
It is. It's really nice to have.
I do listen for the sound myself. I'm very audio cue orientated. I see a lot of stuff going on the screen. I also listen to the sounds, all that kind of stuff. But I also know there's a lot of players that unfortunately don't listen to the audio cues, which are there to help you. Mm-hmm. But they do like to play music in the background, and they can't tell when the Briarheart's firing. And then having this buff on the side to see it, not only just for that purpose, but to see a countdown timer to see how long you've got left is really, really helpful. So both for people that don't have the sound on, and both for people that do, for different reasons, it's really helpful to do that. It is a buff. It should be in the buff timer.
Yeah. And ironically, this is one that I hadn't been aware of because, again, I use add-ons for this because I've got one that I prefer the layout. So I didn't realize it didn't actually show up on your effects bar if you're using the base game UI. So that's a nice fix. We've got defensive position and perfected defensive position. Which one is this from? Reduces the amount of magicka restored if you fail to affect. Oh, this is that's the sword and board from Asylum.
That's Asylum.
Yeah, I like that. Ironically.
There's a reason they did that.
Mm-hmm.
And that is because defensive posture, absorb magicka, all the rest of it, instead of lasting like almost, well, God knows, over 20 seconds.
30 seconds, anyway. I think.
Yeah, I think it was close to 30 seconds, if not it was. Instead of it lasting that long, and then after the duration, it would give you a big boost back. It still gives you a big boost back, but the duration is only 6 seconds. So you could have exploited the crap out of it and basically had so much resource gain. So they
create an infinite resource loop with this if they hadn't changed this. Yep. Yeah,
you could. Yeah,
and I still like that set. Like, it's solid.
Yeah, and also, the fact that the skill now obviously absorbs physical damage as well as magic damage, you could over abuse the hell out of it.
Yeah, like absorb magicka. Like, it looks legit.
Love it.
Ebon Armory was tweaked down to 1,000 from 1118.
Man.
I don't know. I like this from rounding, but it doesn't matter much.
It's just round numbers. There's nothing that's really going to be significant. Yeah.
Eternal Hunt was a bug fix, so you couldn't lose the weapon. Like, weapon swapping wouldn't break the rune. That's nice. False God fixed an issue where magic return from the set would fail if you were also wearing a perfected version.
Who puts on both sets?
Mind you,
you can get the stacking bonus from the resource reduction. That's mm-hmm. true. You can get that.
Yeah. Also, if you realize that you got magic return from both sets, you might put on both sets because that would be broken.
Yeah, that's true.
Keem Jaw's Retribution, Major Berserk now lasts for 5 seconds from three. So again, like it's been extended a little bit.
Sure.
Ice Furnace now grants spell.
That I really like. That's one of my favorite sets.
Which one, Keem Jaw or Ice?
I stopped you there. Keem Jaw's. I've got two sets completely golded out, one in Divines and one in Impen. I use one in PvP, because every time someone near me that I've been in a fight with dies, I get Major Berserk. And in Maelstrom, every time something dies, I get Major Berserk. It's disgusting. And the 5 seconds instead of three is
that's nice.
Absolutely yeah. nuts.
Oh, that's Major Berserk. Yeah, I can
see that. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, okay.
That so what you do is you poison injection someone that you don't have any intention of finishing off. When someone else finishes it off, you Batman someone.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane.
Okay. Yeah. So on the range of things, Ice Furnace is now a little bit less weird. It grants spell damage instead of weapon damage on the four-piece bonus.
Still pretty shit, though.
It's kind of terrible. I still have a set for tanking
when I want to troll DPS,
Ice Furnace and also Magic Furnace have the potential to be really cool if they'd work. And that's not a pun. Like they have the potential to be really interesting sets
They've got to get rid of it. It's based on a heavy attack, and then you have a chance. How slow is a heavy attack? Mm-hmm. Heavy attacks are fine. They're viable. It's something that is in the base game. It's something they want you to utilize. But having a 50-50 chance with a massive wind-up to a heavy attack, take off the chance and just alter the set a little bit. I like what they've done with the spell damage. It does make sense because the spell set. But I don't think it's enough yet. I think it's a step in the right direction, but I think it does need to be addressed again.
Yep. Let's see. We've got Crags having its AoE modified to deal with dragons, which, dragons have weird hitboxes. So like
it's short range anyway, though.
Yeah.
So missed.
It makes sense, though, on this where it's like specifically keying sets to have different hitboxes for dragons because you can't control it. Like that does make some sense from a balance standpoint. So,
yeah,
it's nice. Kind's Kiss has been fixed. We already covered that one, but it's been fixed so that you can no longer crit strike on the proc because that brings up all kinds of bad memories.
Yes, it does.
Merciless Charge increases Tick's weapon grants by one, resulting in approximately 20% increase. Which one's Merciless Charge? Is that the Maelstrom? Is the Maelstrom Sword and Board?
It's the Maelstrom one. The two-hander.
Oh, this is a two-hander. Oh, okay, so that's the one that affects.
Increases the amount of Ticks from the weapon grants from one, resulting in a 20% increase. This effect can trigger off of each Tick of Stampede effect, area of effect.
Oh, okay.
Is that one? Yeah, it should be. I think it is.
Yeah, I don't remember which one it is. I thought it was...
Well, Stampede was changed, because now, instead of it being what it was, basically, it was just a single hit, and then you had certain bonuses from it. Now it's a ground-based area of effect damage over time, which is in line, and maybe stronger, in fact, with Volley.
Yeah. So this becomes it's the
really
two-hander
nice.
Version of...
Yeah, you kind of crit rush in and get your dot in. Yeah, you get your dot in, because it does a... an increased damage over time from that particular set.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've been using that already. It's really nice. The Maelstrom two-hander is a little shiny.
Yeah. So Pillar of Nurn had its bleed damage increased by about 25%. That's nice to see.
I've tested that already. It's not bad. It's not bad at all. Yeah, you can on a stamina build, I mean, if you're going... ceiling wise without obviously certain variables because the dummy doesn't have everything, you can crack 90k without Reliquin, including with this set on, so it's quite nice if you spec for it.
Okay, this is one I'm not feeling great about, but it's not huge. Plague Doctor's had its bonus reduced to 3k from 4k. Their point is because there's no additional reasons to justify the increase to stat. This is in contrast to sets like Necropotence, where you have to have a pet out, or Green Pact, where you have to have food active. So Plague Doctor is now going to be weaker. Yeah, because it was just extra health, but it's still going to be extra health on top of extra health. I don't know. I like the set. It's just... you lose 1k from your max health as a tank. That's not the end of the world. It's just kind of, it's a little sad to see it go, but it's not
It's not going to be that much of a difference. Also, just to go back one on Pillar and Urn, some of the reason why they probably enhance the damage output, 25% increase on the bleed, is the fact that bleeds now do consider resistances. So the flat damage output is actually less, unless your debuffs are on point.
Okay, that makes sense. Let's see. Quick Serpent, fix an issue where stam return for the set would fail if you were also... would fail if you this were also returning.
This is confusing to me because Quick Serpent doesn't return stamina. It has a reduction to cost. Vicious Serpent, as in Vicious Ophidian, that one returns stamina.
What's going on here, then?
Fix an issue where stam return from this set would fail if you're also wearing Vicious Ophidian. I think that's a typo, and it's the other way around. I think perhaps Quick Serpent and Vicious Ophidian together, VO wasn't giving you the stam back.
I think you're right about that, but that is weird. Yeah.
Because they do stack the mitigation, the reduction to cost does stack also. Mm-hmm. And it did always used to give you return back from Vicious Ophidian because I actually made a build with the two sets. But I think they've typoed it and got it the wrong way around.
Yeah. I'm not sure what's going on there either.
But if that was an issue, good as fixed.
Mm-hmm. Roar of Alkosh has had its AoE ability updated when fighting dragons, assuming nobody drags the Flame Atros in to make friends.
Yeah, indeed.
Savage Werewolf set now ticks every second for 4 seconds instead of every 2 seconds for 6 seconds, resulting in one. Let's see. Now ticks. Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
It's a dirty set. It's actually really strong.
I like it. It's a nice set.
Yeah,
it's a mean set, but I like it. Sentinel of Unpronounceable, Dwemer Spider spawned from the set will now always spawn on the target who proc the summon rather than only on the caster. Spider's now immobile and will will no longer move once it's begun channeling its heal ability.
That's because it kept running off and trying to heal somebody else, or it kept running off and trying to find whoever the hell it was that proc'd it. It was really weird. It's just, I mean, it's a very strong set. It always has been. It hasn't changed in patches and patches and patches, but the one thing that was annoying is that the spider couldn't make its mind up where it would bloody stand.
You just wander off. I forget if I've ever used this set.
It's nuts, if I'm honest, if you are a stamina DPS or a tank, because you just got constant resource gain, even if you're looking.
Yep.
But it's very situational. You've got to have everyone ready for it.
Yeah. So Red Mountain will now migrate its target if it kills somebody, as opposed to just sort of fizzling for the rest of its effect.
Good.
That's nice.
I use that. Matter of fact.
Stinging Slashes has damage increased. Stinging Slashes is... it's dual wield, but dual wield. Is that Master Dual Wield? Okay. Yeah,
that's got increased. So again, following their audits with bleeds and such like that, and single target damage over time, the bleeds do now consider resistances, so they've had to up the damage. So here's the trade-off. Flat out, you'll do less damage, but with all the debuffs in mind, you'll do more.
Yep. Thunderous Valley, which is Maelstrom, I believe, increased damage bonus from the set to nearly double the original Valley since value and its morphs only tick once every second instead of every half second. Values are slightly less than double since they're now only on prettier numbers.
It was because it would tick every half a second and go up and up and up and up and up and up every half a second, and then they had to cater for that basically for just one increase per tick over one tick instead of essentially two. So they brought it in line.
Okay.
It's just a balance thing to kind of clear just up the numbers. Stuff. And, yeah.
Okay. Torix Pact will no longer increase the damage of Oblivion enchantments.
Good.
That is sad. It will still, however, decrease their cooldown. There is something, I think we mentioned this last week, Oblivion damage will now function in PvE. It will work on PvE enemies. So this is actually a really nice change, except for the part where you lose the damage bonus.
Night Slayer is broken on dummies, although I did address that recently with the PTS update.
Okay, cool.
But essentially, if you are hitting the cap for the health of the target, say for example they've got enough to mean that the 3% is hitting the cap of Oblivion damage. Basically, every single time you fire that heavy attack, you'll do 8k guaranteed every single time without fail.
Cool.
It's really nice.
Yeah. Twin Sisters had its DOT reduced significantly, but now happens over 10 instead of over 8 seconds.
67% reduction.
Yeah. Was that set actually that broken? I didn't mess around with it much.
Well, this is the thing. Bleeds were massive. And that's if you're sitting there tanking and holding block all the time and Twin Sisters proc and everyone's got bleeds
on. Oh, yeah. And I never thought about running it on a heavy armor build. Yeah.
If you've got power surge, for example, or crit surge, and you start critting your bleeds, you could basically just not die.
Yeah, it's that makes sense.
Of stuff. It was there was not just that example, but many different ways to make it really, really strong. Honestly, I wish the damage output was a bit more in some situations, but I think that's on a PvE perspective, just to add a little bit more of a kick. But I see what they've done with it, and I see why they've done it as well.
Yeah. So Veli can no longer proc multiple targets on the multiple times on the same monster.
Not meant to, anyway.
Ooh. Yeah, just weird. Not a fan of Veli personally.
I've always found other stuff outperform it, but it depends on the build, I guess.
Well, I just find it really painful to hit the target with it.
Well, that's the thing, it can miss. If you're facing the wrong way and all of a sudden your dots are firing and it just procs, you just wasted it. 9 seconds, see you in a bit.
Yeah. So we got Fury, which is set now procs off taking damage rather than only crit damage. Reduced duration of the buff from 5 seconds to 5 seconds from 6 seconds, so that's not that much. Stacking bonus can now only occur every half second. Reduced total number of stacks to 20 from 25, resulting in 150. Why isn't this one further up so we can actually see the full description in both? This one feels like it should have been there.
Basically, it used to give you more stacks, obviously. And also, this only ever affected you. There was countless cooldown on it. You couldn't actually run out, and there was no 1 second this or 2 second that. It was the more damage you took from crit damage, the more stacks you would stack up. As long as you consistently took critical damage, it would stay with you. I think you could end up getting 750 weapon damage out of it. But now this has changed, which is actually for the better, because this means that not only can I have a PvE application if you're sitting there in loads of dots all the time, if you want to, but also in PvP, if you're up against people that are dealing a lot of flat damage, because for the most part, that is pretty much how you kill people, because everyone's packing in pen anyway, so if you go under the crit, you'll nuke them. If you take any damage, this will start stacking extra weapon damage bonuses. So this heightens the berserker kind of edge to it. So instead of just waiting for crits only, you just get in and start hitting stuff. And if the more they hit you, the more you hit back. It has been reduced a little bit in its overall full potential. And if it hits its peak, it does start again. So again, it's wind up, wind up, wind up. Burst, get out, wind it up again.
Mm-hmm.
But all damage instead of just crits doesn't make it quite so situational.
Cool. And then Weird Tree's been changed with a bug fix, where the set would proc and go on cooldown after attempting to purge an purgeable negative effect.
I don't have a great opinion of that set anyway.
Yeah, it's there. It exists.
Fixed it, but it's one of those.
It's weird.
It is weird.
Yeah, I think that actually that covers it, though. Those are the other minor tweaks to the sets. So that's kind of a quick run through of that. There's a lot of stuff in here, and we're going to be back at this next week, actually, because we still got a whole section to hit.
I'm just an observer for these because I don't use many of these sets here. So it's a good catching up for me. Zynode, thank you for coming back to the show. I will be excited to see you here next week, like Stark just said. Three weeks in a row of Zynode content. That is, we're setting new records all the time with you here.
I've got my own sofa and everything.
Oh, wow. Yeah, really? We have to pull up a chair.
I don't even have a sofa.
You make Stark sit on the floor. It's fine.
You have to go downstairs and speak to the guy near the back door.
Yeah.
You enter through the back.
Pretty sure that's a cat.
So thank you again for that, Zy. Stark, thank you as always for sharing your knowledge. Zynod, would you like to shout out where people can find you primarily across the internet? You've got many sources.
Let's go. You can find me on YouTube under /Zynode. You can find me on Twitch /Zynode again. Twitter is /Zynode. Patreon is /Zynode. And Facebook is /Zynode Gaming.
There you go. And those will all be in the description of the podcast.
Ooh, the website.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
www.zynodegaming.com.
But it's different.
But not all these things are the same.
They are. They've all got the X and the Y and the node in it.
I get a lot of people come to my chat and they're like, I love that Zynode spelled Z-Y. And I'm like,
That happens quite a bit.
He's a stand-up character. I love him. But like I was saying, you can find all of his links he just shouted out are in the description of this podcast episode. So you can easily go down there and click it. I know a lot of people forget those exist because I'll get questions sometimes. Like, where do I find a thing? We try and put it all down there, including, I think last week I threw this forum post in there as well, but I'll have it in this week's. Next week, we'll be back again. Like the guys were saying, we're going to be back here talking about some class changes, I think, is what we're going to try and focus on. Mm-hmm. Curious to know if by next week we'll have another round of PTS patch notes, because
we will.
Yeah, I was going to say
we will.
Last week,
don't know if it'll revise this stuff yet.
Hopefully, oh god, hopefully not. They didn't implement the ball change, by the way, the bubbles as you call them. They were supposed to be synergized by multiple people. I did not see that come through with this 5.1.1. So we shall see.
Oh, I just looked at 5.1.1 and explained so much about my life. Histbark was still applying major evasion in the old form as passive dodge. I couldn't figure out where that was coming from.
Dodging.
It was dodging. Yeah. I was like, how are they still doing this? This was taken out. It's like, nope, that's still there. Okay.
Missed a bit.
Next week gets harder because we got a reference. Oh my God, maybe three weeks worth of notes.
Yeah, exactly.
Good luck, everybody. If you have any questions for us listeners out there, feel free to send an email to kyledempsterstudios@gmail.com. Again, that will be in the show notes. Come check me out over on Twitch Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, all starting at 4 p.m. Eastern time. Stark's usually there hanging out between Zai or my stream, so you can find him probably in one of the two. Again, maybe we should even set up a time if you're on when I'm on. Maybe we can get back into do some more of these things on the PTS, some more dungeon smashing, because that'd be fun. That was a good time. And Stark, we should get you in there as well.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
So those are those things. Stark, you and I, we're over on Twitter. I'm at twitter.com/KyleDempsterSTU. Stark, you're twitter.com/...
Michael J. Schwartz.
And I'd also like to remind people we were on Jebro Unity's podcast. It's the new companions. I need to see really quickly. Jebro Unity. See if he has a link that I can shout out for him, because he's an awesome dude. And it was very nice. We were all on there talking about Necromancer. So let's see. I know he is pointing people. Uh-oh, he doesn't have a... That one doesn't have a link for anybody. Oh, poop. Wonder if he's just throwing people to his VOD.
You can throw them to YouTube. I know they're on his... Oh. I know the podcast goes up on his YouTube.
Let's see. Well, you know what? I'm struggling to find that link, but this is because I'm unprepared. So twitch.tv/JebroUnity. You can at least find him there. He's online right now. Social, YouTube. Got it. Let me see if I can find an easy... Okay, youtube.com/JebroUnity. There you go. And there is the episode. So I see it right there in the most recent uploads. And that's going to do it, I think. I think I shouted out all the things that need to be shouted. Reminder that we have a Discord, everybody. Discord.gg/KDS. You can ping basically all three of us in there for questions or anything if you need any help. I'm always there, and Stark's usually lurking in the shadows, spying upon people. So until next week, everyone, bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye-bye.